You know, it's easier to sing how great thou art when things are nice and smooth. But you know, the real testimony to how great he is when you're in those shadow times, when there are things that are covering you, that are blocking the light. And it's at that point when you can praise, when you can worship, and you can say those words from deep inside, that your Father in heaven knows the pain that you are singing those words through. And it's as if you tap into a Holy Spirit faucet of refreshing. That when he knows that you're meaning and you're singing and you're worshiping, but there's clouds in your life, but you know there's light behind the cloud, that touches your Father in heaven's heart, and the floodgates of grace open and flow like a river into your life. And you know what? It doesn't matter how tough you are. It doesn't matter how much stuff you've done wrong. He loves you anyway. You see, what you've been able to see, and you don't know, but you've been able to see with these youngsters that were up here earlier, you see, that's the future. You're not. These little ones, what are they going to grow up in and around? What will they face 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now? You see, the only hope is Jesus. And I don't care where you were last night. I don't care what you were doing. God loves you anyway. And he sent a son who was called Jesus. Walked the earth, grew up, sinless. Gave his life. He wasn't murdered. Don't ever buy that. He gave his life on a cross. He surrendered his life on a cross for last night. He surrendered his life for what you did last week. He freely gave his blood, his life. Father in heaven gave his only begotten Son so that whoever would believe in him should have eternal life. These children, some of which already know Jesus, Keith preaches the gospel message every Sunday down there. And we do a children's baptism, meaning they repent. They understand sin. That's kind of important if you read the scripture. They ask Jesus to become the center of their heart. You see, the Bible talks, it says it this way. You first must repent of your sin. You must acknowledge you are a sinner. You can't do that at 6 months. You can be prayed over. We do parent dedication, we call it baby dedication. We pray over them, but it's a personal decision between you and Jesus. And no one can do that for you. Your mama can't do it, your daddy can't do it, your grandma, grandpa, you can't pay your way into heaven. There is only one way, and that is to be saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, and that is to accept that you are a sinner, you need his forgiveness. You accept him as Savior and Lord, and you ask him into your life, and you will be forgiven. and it is as if you have never sinned. So what you have seen and you have heard sung, Monica, when she did that song, you don't know what Monica's going through, but Monica is standing in faith and she's waiting. And sometimes some of the hardest things that it seems like we can do is we can have to wait. Yet the scripture over and over and over again says, wait on me. Wait on me and see what I'll do. But it's not easy. Jeremiah 33:3 makes this promise. This is in the Old Testament, and this is from a translation called The Message. Okay? It's kind of written in a different language. English, yes, but a different way. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, call to me and I will answer you. That would be God. I will tell you marvelous and wonderful things that you could never figure out on your own. Now let me read that again, and then I want you to listen very clearly. Because God is talking to some of you this morning. Hopefully he's talking to all of you, but some of you, and specifically he's talking to you about your eternal life and where you're going to spend it. He says, call to me and I will answer you. I'll tell you marvelous and wonderful things that you could never figure out on your own. That pretty much says you can't do it by yourself. You're going to need help on some of these. For me, it's most of them. But for some of you and for all of us, he says, I'll answer. I'll answer. That's a promise. Isaiah 30:21 says it this way. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. Now, here's the thing that I think is fascinating about that. God's interested in little things. The creator of everything. The God that Albert Einstein could never figure out, yet somehow or other he knew there had to be something, someone, some way everything was so perfectly created. So from the largeness of the universe, which the scientists can theoretically, that's, you know, theory just means a guess, by the way. God says, I'll even tell you which way to go. There's no decision. There's nothing too small for God. But you know what the enemy will tell you? And he's really good at it. He will say, you don't deserve anything. There's folks in this room right now that say, y'all, I know that God we've been singing about, Jesus, I wish I could believe that, but he couldn't take me back because he doesn't know what I've done. I have news for you. He knows everything that you've done, and he loves you. And he sent a son to die for you. Those last two scriptures were out of the Old Testament. And you can say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, let's look at the New Testament. James 1:5 says this, if you don't know what you're doing. Now, notice it doesn't say what doing you're doing. It just says, if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help. And listen to this. And you won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Do you understand that you can be in a situation at work and you can have a situation that you just can't seem to figure out? And you can ask him, and he will show you the way. Does that mean he's going to give you a burning bush? Probably not. He may not part the Medina River. He may not do. But you know what? Remember that voice behind you that'll tell you go to the left or the right? There'll be something inside of you, and it will be very calm. It will be very, very peaceful. And he'll say no, and you'll go that way. See, sometimes God can be real plain on how he does little things. Other times he can be pretty amazing, and at least to me is amazing. My wife can testify to the truth of this because she's the one that did it. She keeps this little blue book. And in this little blue book, she writes down things. She writes down, it's called a journal, for lack of a better term. And she wrote down things. And once we got married in May of 1996, remember that date, May 1996, she said, Bear, can I read to you out of this book? I want to read you something that God told me a long time ago. I said, sure. I mean, I'm thinking, what could that have to do with me? She basically had written down on July the 9th, 1994, that Jerry Smith would be my husband. That's what she wrote. Okay, 1994, that's what he gave her. Me? Clueless. As cooed around in a snowstorm. I'm walking around, la, 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 la. Didn't have a clue. But God gave her a promise. She wrote the crazy thing down. And then she waited. I don't know about you guys, but I am not good at waiting. And I'll tell you, it's gotten worse and worse and worse, seems like, lately. I asked this question in the earlier service, and maybe about 10% of the people held up their hands. I asked them this question, and you don't have to hold your hand up, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. I said to them, how many of you have written a letter, longhand, not a card saying get well soon, blah, blah, blah. I mean a letter in longhand and put it in the mail and mailed it in the past 12 months. Out of the entire number of people that were in that room, maybe 10% said yes. You see, today we have such a hard time waiting because we want instantaneous response. If we text and don't get a text back, immediately, we begin to get a little irritated. I know she saw that text. Heaven forbid we leave a voicemail. You know, what you don't realize is some of you on your phones, did you know that, I'm going to tell you a secret, you might want to check your phones, that on some of you, especially the iPhones, that somebody can tell when you read the message. Yeah, they can, because there's a little deal that'll say up here when they read the message you sent them. And then you really get mad because you realize it's been 15 minutes since they read it and they haven't texted me back. You see where I'm going with this? The world keeps saying you deserve an instant response. It doesn't matter. How many of you go out to eat and you're sitting at a table and you look around and what you basically see is everybody on a telephone texting each other at the table, whatever. I don't know what they're doing. There's a commercial that does that with a guy and the two daughters. But you see, God says that waiting is good for you. Because waiting's doing something inside of you, and God's doing something inside of you in that waiting that you don't have any clue about. You've heard this scripture before, Isaiah 40:31 in the Message. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. Do you feel like a worm? You see, his mercies, it says in the scripture, are new every morning. That means he will sustain you in the waiting period. You know what tends to happen when you wait according to his way of faith? Faith grows. Hope by the Spirit is sustained. Colossians, this is New Testament now, okay? Colossians 1:11 in the Message says this, we pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, which is what I tend to do, but the glory strength God gives. It is strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy. Meaning this, that if you'll just stay with it and believe and not be, but you'll be basically saying, God, I'm still here and I'm still waiting. But there's joy. And you know what? He said, what did he say earlier in the scripture? He said, I will answer. He doesn't say, I might answer when I get around to it. That's what the people you're texting do. That's what the people that hit silence real, real fast, and you can tell it on your phone. God's never got a busy signal. You don't have to text him, you don't have to write him, and you don't have to phone him. You can just think it, and he knows it. He knows everything about you, and that can make us real uncomfortable sometimes. And I'm going to skip way over to something. At the very last, waiting on God, future blessings. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to read this to you. And I think it's real important that you understand. If you leave this morning with nothing else but this, hope, the name of Jesus, and hope, then you've left with what God wants you to leave with. Waiting on God's future blessings does not give us license for complacency to not do the work He has called us to in the present. You see, the last thing that Jesus said before He ascended to the Father was be witnesses throughout everywhere. To bear testimony is another way to put that. For those of you that know Jesus as Savior and Lord, that testimony doesn't mean you have to be a preacher, doesn't mean you have to go banging people in the face with a Bible. No, it means living the way Jesus would want you to live. You see, sometimes when we're believing God for a promise, let me tell you what can happen. And if you're the one doing it, you need to stop it. In Jesus' name, stop it. I love you. Stop it. God gave Lida a promise. While she was walking that promise out, there were people who were telling her, you're nuts. And don't anybody say she was. But, you know, there was not always positive feedback coming her way. But she walked it in faith to the end. If God's given you a promise, that's your promise. And if you're brought into that equation, you need to be real sure that all you're speaking is faith. I'm telling you, you ain't God. Don't you dare tell somebody what God's going to do or what God's... No, God doesn't need me to tell you. God will talk to you directly. There's a song that I've never been able to get anybody to do. It's called Don't Stop One Step Short of the Answer. You see, because here's what can happen. We can feel like we're not good waiters. We don't wait good. I don't wait good. Maybe you do. But we can feel as if we're along this road and we're believing for what God said to do, and what can be hitting us from both sides are well-meaning Christian folks who are telling us, well, it may not happen. Well, this may not happen. Well, it may not be God's will. But this is what about. No, they need to be hearing from God, and you need to be praying. You see, waiting can be incredibly lonely. These kids that were up here right just a little while ago, there's some of you out there that are praying specifically for those kids. But you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to wait. They're going to have to grow up. And so it's going to take time, which is the one thing that exists in that terminology of wait that we despise the most. You see, when he says wait, it's because he's doing something inside of you. There was a guy that did a quote, and you may have heard of him. It's called Billy Graham, probably the greatest evangelist of all that's ever been. And he only preached one message. He didn't preach, he just preached the gospel. He just preached Jesus, and he just preached that that's where your hope is. And then they had George Beverly Shea was his singer, and he'd sing "Just As I Am," and thousands of people would get saved with the simple gospel message, the good news. Billy Graham said this: "Heaven is full of answers no one ever bothered to ask. God's answer is ready. It's just waiting for our personal and persistent prayer." In Galatians 5, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience. There it is again. Waiting is part of the journey where God is doing something in you that is probably a whole lot more important in some ways than the end result over here. Today, everything in the world says you have to have, and it'll say it, go home and watch it, turn it on internet, whatever. Everybody's saying this: you have this, you'll be happy. You have this hair color, you'll be happy forever. You have this car, you'll be happy forever. You have this whatever. That what's going to make you happy is stuff. I have a question for you. If that's the truth, then why is it we hear over and over this happen? Someone who has everything they could possibly want takes their own life. And they had everything money could buy. Well, here's the problem. There's a hole in all of us that sin cut out, that to be filled so that we can have joy, so that we can have peace. Doesn't make any difference how much stuff we have as long as we have Him. That would be Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth. His forgiving spirit taking up that hole that's in each and every one of you that hasn't asked Jesus into their heart. Stuff won't fill the hole. Only Jesus will do that. Why? Because sin cut that hole in there, and the forgiveness of sin, His name is Jesus, and it fills the hole. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. You don't have to beg. You see, The good news is this. There's some of you out there right now saying, "He won't, you don't know what I've done." Listen, if my wife and I compared notes with what's gone on in our family's lives, you would probably say, "And you're still standing up there?" But here's the truth. Jesus is the only answer to what ails you. And if you know Jesus, then when Jesus left, remember He talked in that one scripture about He'll send a helper? That helper's called the Holy Spirit. Now here's the thing. You can gut it out as hard as you want to. But the reason Jesus said, "I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send someone. I'm going to the Father, but someone's coming back," is because what? He knew we could not do it alone. So what's He asking you to ask for and then to wait on? You see, it can be a job. It can be a physical condition. You see, His answer doesn't, He isn't bound by a text message. No, His answer will come in due time according to His plan. Here's the thing. Just try. I double, triple dog dare you to try and ask Him something simple that you need some help with. Now, don't play games with God, because He doesn't play games. That's like trying to tell Facebook people, "I don't play games." You can't do it. But God wants to hear from you. What haven't you asked him for because you're too ashamed? What haven't you asked him for because, well, he's got to be tired of hearing me? No. It says, pray without ceasing. Stay at the door and knock. There's a parable Jesus told in Luke. He told this story of this judge who didn't believe. He didn't care about men. He didn't care about God. He didn't believe nothing. He's his own self-made man. But this widow wanted some justice. And he really didn't care about anybody. But here's the truth. He finally did justice for this lady. And the only reason he did it was to get her to shut up, to be quiet, because she had persistently come at him. Now, here's what Jesus said. Now, wait a minute. How do you think your heavenly Father would react to that? Who loves you, who cares for you, who wants to hear from you? And you don't have to know how to pray in the King James Version. I've said this before in Vietnam. The quickest prayer in the Bible was just a ha, for help. He knows what your needs are. But as Billy Graham said, he's got all these answers, but nobody's asking. Who's keeping you from asking God? Don't you let somebody that's told you in the past, the only one that can go to God is this individual or this status of person. No, that's wrong. That's what the Bible says right there. Ask. Ask. And I promise I'll answer. That's God. What haven't you asked God for? Because it's too big. You see, it isn't your amount of faith that's going to make the difference. It's God's sovereign grace. And as you walk and as you ask, oh, God could never, don't say that. God can do anything. You believe God for exactly what God told you to believe. And don't make your ears welcome mats for people who try to tell you otherwise. So here's the message in a nutshell. Wait is a hard thing to do. But wait is God's way of growing inside of you what he wants to come out of you. And what will come out of you will be a testimony of his grace. Doesn't matter how many tats you have. Doesn't matter how much drugs you've done or alcohol you've drank. Jesus died on a cross and paid the price for your sin. I'm going to ask the prayer partners to come up. And Larry, can you make it up here again, buddy? To pray with folks. If you don't know Jesus, you need to come meet with Larry, and Larry will walk you through a prayer that will include that part of repentance. Maybe you need physical help over here. There will be folks there to pray for you. Maybe it's family needs. There'll be some folks over here. But folks, here's the thing I want to say to you. Right where you sit, before you get up and run to wherever you're going to go eat, you need to ask yourself this question. What haven't I asked God for? And I know that right now he's saying, I'm listening. I'm listening for your voice. And he wants to hear from you. And he promises that he'll give you an answer. Would you stand? And I'm going to pray and dismiss you to do what you need to do. Lord, we thank you for the evidences that we've seen today of the kingdom. Thank you for the voices of the children and their faces, Lord. Standing up here, dancing, singing, loving, being in church, worshiping you. Lord, we pray for each and every one of those and their family members and all the situations that, Lord, would you manifest yourself magnificently in their houses? Lord, I pray protection over them. I pray, Father, that they would come to know you as Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, that before our eyes we have seen today, tomorrow, and we may not be here for that tomorrow, but we know you are faithful and you are everlasting. Lord, I pray for people that you have spoken to and you have given them a promise. Lord, they would stand in that promise and that you would shut the mouths of anyone who come alongside and speak otherwise. Lord, we stand in faith. We stand in faith believing for the promises of God and that your word is true, that you will answer, that you will answer, that you will answer. And so, Lord, as we leave here today, Lord, we pray that those of us that call you Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, Lord, would we be a testimony of that out there? Would we not get fussed at the waitress because or the waiter because they didn't bring our tea on time? Would we not get mad because we were cut off at the road when we wanted to go? Lord, help us to learn to wait. And just as importantly as we learn to wait, that we would know what you're doing inside of us while we wait on you. So, Lord, till we meet again, if that's next week or if that's in heaven, I ask you to bless these folks, bless their travels, bless their work, bless their families. In the name of Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth, I ask it. Amen.